hoping, because I'm like working my way through Netflix. Like I don't know if there's an end to Netflix, but I think I'm gonna find it soon. I think it's gonna happen. Cause I need constant noise on, like during the day, or like I have to have noise. I hate quiet. I hate silence. I don't like, cause then I feel like I gotta talk. I gotta like fill the silence, fill the void.
Yeah, I understand that.
And so I just have like shit on during the day. But when you only have an antenna, you're limited. So
yeah, we play a lot of podcasts in the background.
See, I like that, but I want to pay attention to those too. And when I can't read and listen and focus on like multiple things at a time, because like I will miss something. Something's gonna lack on that. I'm still trying to find this work from home rhythm.
It takes a while to get used to.
You'd think by month, 10, that I would have figured shit out. I did.
Yeah. I had, you know, because when the children were babies and even little, I freelanced.
Right.
So I've been doing it for a long time. And I think that really helped me just having that experience, you know, but if you've never done that before, it's hard.
Right, because I've always had a job or I've been in school. So it's like I've never not had to go somewhere or like have like be somewhere at a certain time. So it's hard to kind of like maneuver.
And when, you know, for with my kids, I know I have to get Owen ready. He goes on his online school at 8.
Right.
So I know that I need to be up by a certain time and get certain things done in order to help him get on. So I have outside things that shape my schedule.
I don't have that. I work around Hugo's eating, sleeping, and pooping schedule, which I think he's just fat and lazy. So it's really, that's not really a schedule. He wakes me up at 6 and then we take a nap until it's time for work. And then he takes a nap for the rest of the day. So
yeah. Let me tell you the amazing thing that just happened.
What just happened? I think everyone needs to know too, we took a week off.
Yes.
And because like Christmas happened, even though it's been like weird and COVID and all of that with like navigating the holidays, I also quarantined because I had a big fan. I have a big family, so I didn't want to be around others. So I'm coming out the end of my self-quarantine-ish thing. Because it's hard to like have Christmas with my family, and we love a Christmas. That's our time to shine. And I've said that before. So like, there's no way we were missing it, which I know is super selfish and super horrible. But since my grandma's passed, we all just have like a really hard time with it. So we were missing 3 families. And there were still a lot of us, like in the teens of us. So I quarantined and we took a week off because we haven't had a week off since we started. We have had an episode a week, which we love to do. But, you know, sometimes you need a little break, man. Sometimes you need to just like pump the brakes for a second. So Ashley and I also have not really spoken a whole lot because we were off of work and Ashley took vacation time. And so we might ramble for a little bit before we actually start to talk about stuff. Yeah. So I am actually genuinely excited to hear what happened. I want to know.
Well, so I just moved into a new place.
Love it. Yeah.
I've been here since Wednesday. So less than
a week. What a long time.
And so I told you I had some friends dropping some things off. So my friend said, I'm just got something to drop off. She's like, I'm around the corner. Can you run out? So I put my mask on.
Right.
I ran out. One car comes up. It's my friend. She's like, you know, happy home, housewarming. And she goes, and then the car right behind her is my another friend. They gave me a parade.
No way.
Had a little gift.
I love that.
That's so sweet.
How sweet is that? Me and 2 of my friends. So Katie is also, I haven't gotten a chance to give Christmas presents or anything to Katie because she's having little bebé at, well, yes, and not yet, but like is, yes, quarantining for all of that. But my two other best friends, we did a parking lot Christmas exchange with masks and in car. And that's what I'm doing. I told Ashley that she had to wait until I put my cakes in the oven, because one of my Christmas presents was Mr. Paul Hollywood's How to Bake cookbook.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I borrowed my sister-in-law's kitchen scale so I could measure everything out like they do on the show.
Yes. And
if you don't know who Paul Hollywood is, I feel like you haven't listened to this program ever, because we're obsessed with Mr. Paul Hollywood. Yeah. He's a big fixture in our lives. And when I tell you to, I opened it and the picture on the cover is exactly what you would expect a picture of Paul Hollywood's book cover to look like.
The eyes,
and he's like serving up the food all like, I'm so sexy and cool, like, and it's perfect. It's everything I could have wanted and more, honestly.
That's a great gift.
Besides the Hugo sling that I got like a side messenger bag to hold, yeah, Hugo. He still doesn't understand it yet, but we're getting there. But besides that, honestly, and I love my other friend, Rebecca, I love you and your bath, little bath bomb thing. It looks like one of those urinal cakes, but you put it in the bath. I mean, you put it in the shower and it
evaporates. Yeah.
But my mom was very confused because she thought it was a urinal cake and I don't have a urinal. And she was like, what are you doing with this? So I had to explain. And I love it. I love my gifts from Rebecca, but I had to shout out my friend April because my Paul Hollywood cookbook.
That's a good one.
And I get to look at his face every time I make something. I mean, what a fucking dream. Okay. What a dream. So I'm making a few Victoria sponges. I'm going to make a Victoria sponge with some mixed berry jam and some homemade whipped cream, bitch.
Nice.
I know.
In your own kitchen.
My own kitchen, my own little corner in my own little chair. Little Cinderella reference for anyone.
But I love how creative people have gotten. You know, we've had to be creative.
I know.
You had a drive-by baby shower recently.
Yes, I threw a drive-by baby shower for Katie, which was so funny because her and her mom were standing there before people got there, and we were like, "What are we do? Like, what do we do? And so then people would drive through, and it was so funny because our friends would come and they'd be like, "How does this work?" And we're like, "We don't know." So.
Nobody knows.
Do whatever you want because we don't know. Yeah, but her parents have this really convenient circle driveway thing, like a horseshoe driveway kind of thing. So it actually worked out really perfect. Me and her husband took the presents. Her mom gave out the favors, and then Katie just stood there like she's supposed to, like a queen at her party. And she looked great, of course, which she knows I love her, but really pisses me off because she looks basically like she ate a burrito. her former coworker said, yeah, that when she saw her, she was like, you bitch. But no, she's doing great. And I can't wait until that little baby. But yeah, we had to get creative. We had to get you know, because I was not letting anyone near her. I quarantined for 2 weeks too before that. Yeah. And I was not letting anyone touch her. Like somebody was like, asked her husband if they could give him a hug. And I was like, no.
Oh, no hugs. I'm sorry.
No one's touching anyone.
I mean, you should.
I might have gotten a little crazy, but
you're not even supposed to be close enough to do like a.
No. I don't, you know, and some people, and I get it. Like I've gone to restaurants. Like I don't go all the time, but like, you know, I've done a little Shogun and Metairie situation and like, you know, all of that. But some people are just like walling out. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. Please.
No.
Like, can we not do
that? Not safe. Cause we've made it this far.
Right.
Not too much. I mean, yes, it's hard, but just hang on a little longer.
I know. That's what I'm hoping. I did have a telehealth not meeting, appointment, there we go, with my rheumatologist, my arthritis doctor. And she actually did say that both of the medicines, so one of my medicines is the hydroxychloroquine, the like now famous drug, thanks to the president wanting to just like, give it to everyone. Had a little scare there for a second because thought I wasn't going to be able to get it. And I was like, if all you fuckers take my medicine,
yeah,
I'm going to be pissed. And then, but she said my other medicine too, I forgot all the terminology or whatever, but she basically said it should be protecting me from like catching something. Because then, however, so typically like it stuff that I take suppresses my immune system because background story, I have an autoimmune disease and autoimmune diseases, they attack, like your immune system is attacking the wrong cells. Like it's attacking healthy cells and actually making you sick instead of like attacking the correct thing, like when you have the flu and stuff. That was such a great medical share for that. But basically that's what it is. However, sometimes they treat it with different stuff. So apparently whatever my current medicine, like main medicine is doing is like, will like hopefully help and protect against me getting COVID, stuff like COVID. So I'm hoping that also means like the flu, because I don't want anything like that either.
No.
I'm going to go with it. I'm going to trust her. I've been trusting her for 10 years of my life. So I'm going to hope she's, you know, she knows what she's doing. But yeah, so I was like, well, shit, but I'm not, even so, I'm still not wilding out. I'm still not going. I'm not going to do all the things. And I, the second they say immunocompromised and all those people can get our vaccines, I'm going to be right up in there, bitch. Be like, let me have it. I want my little card that has, like Dr. Evegno has, where it said she got it. I want my card.
Me too.
So.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that by this time next year, we will be like back to a like, almost normal-ish, because I feel like if they can get the vaccine for this strain like so quickly, that we should be able to like I'm talking like I know what the fuck I'm talking about, but I would assume that you could just like doctor it a little for other strains, right?
Well, yeah, they said that, you know, just like most people get or do get a flu shot,
right,
that you'll instead be getting a flu shot and a coronavirus shot in the future.
Down with it.
Because now we have this. And
yeah, it's just like here. It's here to stay. I'm just ready for it to become the, like, be the flu. Like, so it's not, you know, like, everyone can kind of, like, chill out. Because, like, that newly elected congressman guy, like, 42 years old, horrible. 42 years old, had a bunch of kids. Like, well, I think he had a couple of kids. But, and, like, was totally healthy and everything, scared the shit out of everyone, which like it should have, because you never know. But it's like, I'm ready for it to be like the flu again, where we can like, we have a system, you can go get your, what is it called? Like a Z-pack or whatever, and like fix that shit and be done with it. And we're good to go. That's what I'm waiting. So I won't feel weird about going and being up in people's business at the Jazz Fest and French Quarter Fest. And I won't be scared to death if somebody coughs around me.
Parades.
I won't have to look like make my eye movements bigger because people can't see me being like, I'm so sorry for like sneezing or coughing into my mask around them because I have allergies. So.
Yeah. I can see from my window the Endymion parade route. Parade route. So this year is not going to happen, but next year,
hey,
y'all can come get, I'll put some jello shots on my front porch.
Yes.
You can just come help yourselves.
Being on the Endymion parade route was like, that was 4 years of the best. Like, loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was so much fun. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved my house on Iberville. We were talking about that the other day because it was 100% haunted. And, like, we don't think in a bad, well, something under our stairs. We had a bathroom under our stairs. that definitely had something going on, because Hugo was not having it, and he was he would bark at the bath, the empty bathroom, just randomly. But I miss my Iberville house. It was so good. It was a block away from Wits Inn.
Mm-hmm. So, and lots of things. Yeah,
I know. I love.
Well, glad you said haunted, because that's a good segue.
Ooh.
Okay, so today my story is entitled "Fine Dining and a Ghost or Two."
Oh, I love that. That sounds like a fun like TV episode, like title of a TV episode.
So we're going to talk about Arno's Restaurant.
Love it.
Okay,
I love that. Mm-hmm.
Arno's is one of the city's staple fine dining establishments in the French Quarter.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have your Galatoire's and you have your Antoine's and Tudoc's.
Yeah.
You know.
All that. Yeah.
Arno's was founded in 1918. So it's not as old as some of the other ones.
Right.
But it kind of took off. So
yeah, I mean, even though it's not as old, it still has that like, you know.
Yeah, it's classic. So it was founded in 1918 by a French wine salesman named Arno Cazeneuve.
Okay, sure.
And it really became popular in the 1930s and 40s for a place to go to for high-powered business lunches. So, you know, there was the tradition of the 5-martini lunch.
Yeah.
That still happens at some place. Well, not right now during COVID, but like Commander's does that, and Galatoire's, you know.
Right,
a place to be seen and make deals and do all that stuff. So.
Okay.
Yeah. So it kind of took off. It says in the history that he was a count.
Hmm.
I don't know how he got the title count, though. It didn't really say.
Couldn't you buy that shit at one point? Like, I don't know. I feel like it's political and you can like buy it. Cause isn't that how the Countess from Real Housewives of New York?
Oh, I thought she married somebody.
Well, she did, but I think her husband, like, I don't know if he was really from royalty or anything like that. Money can't buy your class.
So maybe Arno's will let us know, but like, I wasn't sure. Yeah. So anyway, like many French Quarter restaurants, it's like not just a restaurant. It's like a restaurant and then all these other rooms that are attached. Some are big, some are small. Yeah. It's got kind of goes on and on.
Yeah.
And so that's what the owner, the count, but he did. He bought the original location and then started buying adjoining properties to the sides and the back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. That makes sense.
So that way he could combine them into like this complex.
Right.
It said, according to Arno's, that some of the adjoining properties were reputed to be opium dens and sometimes houses of prostitution.
Which I feel like is a theme on our podcast.
Right. There's a lot of sex workers.
We cover a lot of sex workers, but you know what? Good for them.
I mean,
I don't know. Opium dens, those we can get rid of those, but you know, prostitutes are some badass ladies. So,
I mean, they got stuff done, you know, they were doing what they had to do.
Who's that? Tina Fey, bitches get shit done.
Right.
Hell yeah.
So his goal was that he created an enormous kitchen, and then added all the dining rooms around it. So they have a second floor ballroom. They have small chambers for romantic dinners. And there's buzzers. What did I say?
You said small chambers. It just made me laugh.
Oh, small chambers.
It's like they're locking them in there. It just made me laugh.
You can't come out until you've had a romantic encounter.
I knew what you meant. It was
And then they have buzzers that you can summon a waiter to for some of the smaller rooms.
I didn't know that. That's
yeah. Cool. So that was for rooms that were extremely private.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you take your mistress or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And they, their whole big thing was discretion. Like they, whatever went on, it's like Las Vegas. Like what goes on at Arno's stays at Arno's.
Interesting.
Yes. So one of their early keys to success was the way they got around prohibition. And that's, I think that's why it took off as a place for businessmen lunches. So they opened the restaurant the year before, 1 year before prohibition started. So can you imagine opening a restaurant and then all of a sudden you can't sell alcohol?
No,
in New Orleans.
Especially not here, no.
No, so.
I still don't believe that prohibition actually happened here. Like that it actually, like it happened, loose air quotes, but like it didn't really happen.
Right, so this is a quote from Arno's website. Here's one of the ways they got around it. A businessman brought an associate to Arnold's for lunch one day. As soon as he was seated, he told the waiter to bring 2 cups of coffee. Well, apparently it was a really hot day. And the lunch companion was like, coffee? I don't want to start a meal with coffee and it's hot.
Yeah.
And the businessman said, yes, you do. You can't get this kind of coffee anywhere else. So that was their word for...
I see what you did there.
A little hooch.
So when I tell you at morning meetings I'm drinking coffee.
Right.
You can make your guess. Make your assumption.
Exactly. And then obviously the private rooms, they did all kinds of stuff back there. And they had hidden bars in the back and all that kind of stuff.
Love that.
So apparently, though... they finally figured it out. The law figured it out and they put the count in jail and locked the restaurant for a time.
What?
Yes.
Oh shit. I didn't know any of that.
Yeah, I didn't either. It's very fascinating. I can't imagine like the things that restaurateurs had to go through during
prohibition,
like to kind of
still
do business. That. Yeah. So apparently he won the jury over and he was acquitted.
Yeah, because they were probably all going there to grab a drink.
You know it.
So they bar down at the drink.
Yeah. And so, like, he kind of used it to his advantage by saying, like, look at what lengths we go to bring you the best food and the best coffee, in quotes. So people knew they were safe. They were in good hands. They could go there and get a good meal, and everything was going to be great. So eventually the count died in 1948 and he was 72 years old. So there are big portraits of him, and his wife, Irma, and his sister, Marie. This is also from their website. I thought this was funny. Rumor has it that the count could never make up his mind between the two sisters, his wife, Irma, and her sister, Marie. So he's got their 2 portraits and it's like, is this like a Hamilton situation?
You
know?
You married Eliza, but you really wanted Angelica.
Right, exactly. Okay, but instead of
room for a Hamilton reference.
Oh, always, yeah, for sure. Instead of leaving the restaurant to his wife, he left it to his daughter, Germaine. Which I love that name.
I was okay. I thought you were going to say he left it to Marie.
No. Oh my God. Can you imagine?
I was like, oh shit.
Yes. He left it to her because she was kind of known as a headstrong, dramatic, flamboyant character in the French Quarter.
I feel like I can relate to that.
Yeah, so she kind of was an eccentric personality, and he knew that her eccentric personality would be the right one to continue the service that they were providing. So it was said that her capacity for alcohol celebration and men were extreme.
Ooh.
I don't know what that means, but But oh, it was cool.
Sounds yeah. cool though.
Yeah. So she took over and let's see, let me get my notes. Just made a little jump. Okay. So she took over and ran that until she passed away. And then in 1978, 60 years after, it was bought by Archie Jane Kasbarian. I'm sorry, Jane and Archie, probably really messed up your name. So that is the fourth generation of that family is still running it today.
That's crazy.
So it's really only been in two families.
Yeah.
Which is great. So.
I love that.
I know.
Very
so now that we have an idea of the people that created the restaurant, it's said that there's hundreds of spirits that may be found there.
Hundreds?
I know. But maybe that's because the opium den situation.
Oh, yeah.
Prostitution.
Or maybe people, they died and they were like, well, I'm just going to go there because that's where all my fun times when I was a person happened. So I'm just going to live eternity. And oh, God. So I'm just going to live eternity, you know, in my den of sin.
That would be great. So one ghost that we know is there, as we know, quote unquote, is Count Arno himself. So apparently there's a ghostly gentleman that stands near one of the beveled glass windows. All the employees have seen him. So he's wearing a tuxedo and he's standing alone. And he seems to appear when the restaurant is really busy. And he's kind of just looking over and he has a pleasant look, like he's happy that it's busy and there's a lot going on.
That's crazy.
And it says, apparently when you approach him, he just disappears.
Oh God. So, now are these real accounts or are these drunk people?
I mean, as we have noted, anything can happen in the French Quarter.
Who's telling this story?
Right. But this is from a lot of wait staff.
And I'm hoping they're not drunk while working.
Right. So if it's the employees.
That's crazy. So, but that's cool. I mean, he just stands there. I mean, at least he's happy. Shit, you better keep it busy, because what if he gets there and he ain't happy and he's going to start haunting, like real haunting shit.
Yeah. Well, that makes me so happy that, you know, this was obviously a love of his, is having this restaurant, and the fact that he, you know, his spirit still wants to be there and is happy.
And he's coming out in a tuxedo.
Like, yeah.
Oh, sir.
Mm-hmm.
He means business. He ain't here to play.
No, no. So the other person that we know for sure is Germaine, his daughter, who also left the restaurant. It says that others report seeing a woman wearing a hat exiting the ladies' room and crossing the hall, where then she walks into a wall and disappears. So now that might be, you know, we've talked about residual hauntings so that's what that sounds like to me.
That sounds like that too, especially if like she doesn't, so like it sounds like the count like sort of interacts with you a little bit.
Yeah.
So that I think is like legit, but the one where they like walk into walls and shit, that sounds more residual. Like that's just, their energy is still there and that's how it's manifesting into something that happen all the time or whatever.
Right.
Well, not her walking into walls, but.
Right. Well, so one of the ghost hunting teams that, you know, we have several tours and ghost hunting teams, they looked into it and they looked at the original structure of the inlay of the building. And it says it was discovered that this area once had a staircase where the wall is now placed. So the ghost woman is just walking to the stairs.
Stairs, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that would have been something she did a lot, so.
Right. Also, in the restaurant, so people who aren't familiar with New Orleans, this may sound a little strange, but if you're from here, you'll get it immediately. In the restaurant, there's a Mardi Gras museum.
Right.
Because that's what you do in a restaurant.
Because that's what happens.
I mean, so that was Germaine's place. The museum was opened in 1983 in her memory, and it showcases a lot of her costumes and memorabilia, because I think that she was, because she was kind of a bon vivant about town, like she had all these great costumes and kind of stuff. So a lot of her costumes and her daughter's costumes. So she is seen a lot of the time in the Mardi Gras Museum where her clothes are.
Well, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently she appears as a misty figure weaving among the memorabilia.
That kind of shit, I don't see, I'm not sure what would freak me out more. Like, would it freak me out more to see like this misty thing, or would it freak me out more to see like the count in a tuxedo?
Right, a man standing there.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, what? Well, because I think if you saw a man standing there in a tuxedo until he disappeared, you wouldn't necessarily be like thrown off. Right. So I'm thinking that, son of a bitch. I would think a shadowy or like a misty body size type of thing would freak me out more, maybe.
Well, especially, I mean, I love Mardi Gras costumes and memorabilia, but some of it is a little like, I don't want to, creepy is not the right word, but like old Mardi Gras stuff has kind of like a eerie tone.
It's how I feel about like when you walk into some place and it's got a lot of religious things in it. Like, yeah. it's not like creepy in the sense, it's like, it is creepy, but not like, not in a mean way. Like, it's just kind of.
Well, like, so for example, if you look at old Mardi Gras costumes, they used to wear like the plastic faces that hid your features so that you were anonymous. And that's just creepy.
Weird.
It's like plastic weird. With the eyes cut out and the mouth.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's very much like the guy in Silence of the Lambs that like wears the skin.
It's weird. And it's then, you know, old Mardi Gras stuff, like those illustrations were just like, they were just creepy, like devil horns and like, you know, because they were costuming, I don't know. Anyway, and then you saw a mist among that, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm like reflecting on how icky it makes me feel.
Yeah, and even to this day, some wear the hooded like face, you can't see them.
There's a whole lot of problems with that.
We won't go into that, but anyway.
We digress.
There's a couple other things I wanted to mention from Arnos. It says that their CPA, one firmly standing in reality, was conducting the restaurant's annual year-end inventory in the early hours of New Year's Day in the Richelieu Bar, one of the oldest structures dating from the 1700s, which I think is where the French 75 was created.
Something like that.
So he was in there alone counting bottles, and he reported a dramatic drop in temperature that emanated from the end of the bar nearest the street entrance. Mm-hmm. The hair on the back of his neck kind of stood up, and he like got the heck out of there. the chilly atmosphere can probably be attributed to disappointed opium fiends who checked in only to find that they had been displaced by the count's purchase of that building, according to newspaper accounts of the real estate transfer. That's from Arnaud's website. So apparently the Richelieu Bar was an opium den previously.
That's the bar, like, when you walk in the front, that's the bar to the left, right? Like,
so, yes.
Like, on the other side of where those stairs are.
Right.
Okay, yeah, I think so. Okay, yeah.
So, apparently the CPA was a non-believer until he was in there by himself and then was like, I don't like this. Something's happening.
So. My spidey senses are tingling.
Yeah. So that is his account. Now, it says that there have been hundreds of sightings. So, but those are the main ones that I found. I'd like to know if any employees are people who have dined in Arnos have other experiences other than the Count and Germaine.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anybody else hanging out there.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like if the count's there, then maybe the countess and Marie are there, or other people. Maybe, I mean, those kind of restaurants have like waiters. So when we say waiters and stuff, but at the restaurants, like the old time restaurants in New Orleans, the waiters were there for like 50 years. Like you had your own waiter. Like when you went there, your waiter was there every single time to take care of you. They knew what you wanted to eat. They knew what you wanted to eat. They knew what you drank. They knew like what you were going to order and stuff. So I wonder if there's like any former waiters that were there for a long time, like that kind of stuff. Because I mean, I think Galatoire still does that. Like you have your, like Galatoire has top tier waiters that are your waiters. Like they're
there for their career. Yeah. Because
my uncle used to go, their uncle's a lawyer, and he used to have like business meetings and stuff at Galatoire's, and he had his own like person who set up. So my family's celebration of my sweet 16, I have a lot of uncles and a lot of like aunts and stuff, and I'm one of the youngest grandchildren, so I'm not saying that I'm everyone's favorite, but I'm everyone's favorite.
That was your family's place.
Yeah, and because my uncle had his waiter that like set everything up, and he went there all the time, and so he like got all the, you know, got it all settled and everything. So I'm sure that there has got to be like somebody that like dedicated their whole lives to this, like outside of the family, that like dedicated their whole lives to it, because that's like what they used to do.
Yeah, and it's, you know, because that's a funny thing in New Orleans, a lot of families, if you're so lucky to be able to partake in these restaurants, a lot of families would have their allegiance to Galatoire. That was your family restaurant, or Antoine's was your family restaurant, or Arno's or Commander's. So you got to know the staff.
Yeah, you had your own thing. My great great grandfather, one of my great grandfathers, he was in like the log book, the original like log book for Galatoire's. Like the account book or whatever for that. So yeah. That's something that I really enjoy about New Orleans a lot, and enjoy being from here, because like not everywhere has history like that. Like you don't have, you know, like we are so steeped like in history and tradition and like all of that, and I love it. I mean, it's like we were speaking about Christmas earlier, we still do the same toast that my family has done for decades. Like, you know, my great grandfather made that cocktail or whatever, and you know, my whole family is done. So it's like, it's really cool, because I feel like that's not something that happens everywhere, and like something like having your own family waiter like at one of like the big restaurants in the city, like is not a thing
that
happens other places.
Yeah, so I learned a lot about Arno's, and when things open up more, I definitely want to go back there. And now that I know this about the Count and the sisters and Jermaine, I want to go and like see if I can see some guy in a tuxedo like looking
for stuff. I would love that too. They just redid their, like you were saying that they had a ballroom upstairs. You can actually like have wedding receptions, and well, you could you know, everything's influenced by COVID now, but you can have, it's very like 1920s like art deco kind of thing. It's super super cool. It's like really really it's really pretty, and they redid all of it, so it was kind of like a like sort of old school-ish in the sense of probably it was redone in like the 50s or 60s kind of thing, and like stayed that way. But they just redid it. And so you can have, I mean, there's like 800 different rooms in that place that you can have, you know, a plethora of different sized events and things. So there's gotta be something, you know, we can go and do and see different stuff. And
we can order a French 75, and Jermaine, come see us.
Jermaine, I don't need any excuse to order French 75. I will take any excuse I can get too. Yeah. That would be fun. I wonder, like, maybe anyone from Arno's, if you have like where the you know, like where we should sit at the bar, yes, or a certain table or something.
Mm-hmm. I would love to hear stories. Yes,
to share, that would be awesome. I would love to like book a table, you know, and go eat and like have just the specific. I wonder if the count's pissy that you can't have like a full restaurant right now.
Oh, you know he's mad.
I wonder if he's like causing shit. I might go and annoy somebody there and see, like, get the download, because I bet he's pissy. And I wonder if it's like, you know, when you are doing construction on a house or something and the spirits get angry that you're like fucking up their house or whatever. And so they are more active. Like, I wonder if he's like getting like mischievous or something, because he's pissed that his restaurant isn't.
Like, where are the people?
No, where the fuck? How do you explain a pandemic to a ghost?
Exactly. And you know, like, he was like, from everything I read, he was like quite the character and roguish, and
I love that.
I know he misses the
I know problem. If he's actually there. So Jermaine's thing sounds residual, but you can interact with him. I mean, his sounds like a legit, like, he's a ghost up in that bitch, and you know, like there. So I feel like, you know, maybe somebody just gotta walk in there and be like, look, sir, sorry. I talk to my grandma all the time like a crazy person. She's been dead for over a year. So, you know, I just walk up in there and be like, listen, homie, there's a global pandemic. you can't do what you could do before.
Yeah, and we're trying to come back.
Feel like you got any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Let me know. Let me see how I can answer you.
Yeah, I mean, he sounds like a really cool person to, like, it would have been so fun to hang out with him. He just sounds really cool. So,
especially if he's showing up places in a tuxedo. All right.
Yeah.
Although it does kind of remind me of the end of The Shining, where he's like in the photo and he's also like in a tuxedo and he's like, but he's like a ghost at that point. I'm still not really sure about the ending of The Shining. I'm not really sure what happens, but he ends up in the tuxedo and in the photo from
spoilers
40 years before. I'm so, if you haven't seen the
just kidding.
I don't know, I have a problem with that, can fuck off. The Shining is a couple of decades old, okay? That was funny.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert! I should have said that before the Silence of the Lambs reference.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Spoiler!
Anyway, that's Arno's. I was so excited to learn more about it.
I know,
it sounds totally cool. They sound like such a cool, like, family that started a tradition that we still can enjoy today.
Yeah, and I like that the current family owners are still like preserving that, but also making it like making updates and making it you know, like, accessible to modern times and modern day stuff. And I bet that's something that, if a count's hanging around there, I bet that's something he does like, though, like keeping with his time so people like want to show up and be at his restaurant.
Absolutely.
Let us know, Arno's, if you need us to come up in there and explain to the count what's happening. I'll walk around that bitch just talking to myself. I'm all right with it.
I have no shame. We can do this.
I can help in whatever way. I also want to know what table I gotta sit at. I want to see this man in a tuxedo.
Oh, for sure.
I'm down for seeing a ghost if I'm surrounded by others. I don't want to see a ghost when I'm by myself. So I'm fully down for seeing the count. Like, I'm fully down for it. I don't want him to follow me home, and I don't want him to, you know, show up while I'm by myself. But if I knew what table to sit at so I could see him, I'd be there.
Me too. Totally.
I don't know. Well, I love that. I didn't know a lot of that. I don't know if I knew he was a count. Did I know he was a count?
I didn't. I had no idea. Yeah. So, yeah.
I also sometimes get the restaurants, their history confused.
I know. It's, yeah. Yeah.
Everything goes back, 100 years, and I'm like,
I know.
I'm not supposed to know any of this.
Yeah, because you got history. Toujacks, which we'll cover one day, and, just, all these.
We'll get Miss Poppy Tooker on here to give us the lowdown on Toujacks. Yeah. But like you were saying, Commanders, Brennan's, Toujacks, Antoine's, Arno's, Napoleon House. I feel like I'm missing a big one.
I'm sure we're missing a bunch, but it's.
And they all have history like that. They all have a long, cool history.
Yeah.
Muriel's apparently has that guy that they set the table for every day. We'll have to talk about that one day. Yeah. Maybe we could have a restaurant series.
We could do a restaurant crawl and just go and have a.
Oh my God. That would be.
I don't know.
That'd be awesome. I love it. Well, thank you for that. That was good. Yeah. I like it.
I enjoyed it.
I liked it.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm hungry.
A little bit lighter to start the year.
Yeah, we gotta ease into 2021. We gotta tiptoe, make sure everything's all right. make sure shit's not gonna blow up. Not gonna, freak out. Eventually this year, so this is coming out, I believe, the day before our year anniversary. So Monday's the 4th. I think the 5th was our first. I'm going to have to look that up. I probably should know that. But it's been a year, okay?
People, it's been a year. It's
been a year. I barely know what day it is.
I don't even know what day it is, yeah.
I have a calendar sitting right next to me, and that's the only day. I have to mark off the days. If I don't scratch them out, I still get confused, and then the calendar is useless. But, yeah, so it's been a year, man. What a year.
What a year. Who
would have thought that a year ago we would start this thing and then have a pandemic? Because I didn't think that was going to happen.
I mean, never. No.
I don't even know before this year if I could have offhand told you the difference between an epidemic and a pandemic.
I mean... Who would have ever thought? I mean.
Yeah. So it's been a year, but I hope, dear listeners, you have enjoyed this year with us. Our new listeners, I know we've gotten a couple new ones. Shout out to y'all.
I would love to hear if there's stories they want us to look into.
Yeah. So bigeasyspirits@gmail.com. That is the best way to get to us. Easy, and it goes right to my phone, so I will read it first, and then Ashley will read it, and we will respond. But bigeasyspirits@gmail.com. There's also a contact form on our website, which is bigeasyspiritspodcast.com, and then we are at Big Easy Spirits on Facebook and Instagram. So that's how to get in touch with us. Let us know. Is there something in the year that we haven't covered? If there's something we should look into. We are both writers at heart and love a good research project. Let us know. Holler at us. Let us know how we're doing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What you think. Unless you hate us. I'd prefer to know that. I prefer not. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Only nice emails. Or nothing at all.
Right.
You don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But yeah, well, I love it. That's our first episode in the bag, in the can, whatever it's called.
Yes.
We did it. We made it a year. High five, virtual high five.
High five.
Nailed it. Crushed it. We're going to have t-shirts eventually, people. I'm not a designer. I'm doing the best I can. I was hoping for this first year anniversary, but it's not happening. But we have really good t-shirts. It's gonna happen, and they're gonna be awesome, and you're gonna want to wear them, and we'll give you more info on that. But until then, email us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and let us know what you think. Until next time, cheers.
Cheers.